Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, dear people of Blood River Radio, Lord have mercy, I'm having a good time. I tell you, we have just great, great guests. I don't know, God just blessed us to be able to get these people to help us what we're doing, Blood River Radio. They're helping me, I'm helping them. And what we're doing, we're trying to spread the truth. And this just came to me. If you people, I know when I used to be with James, I said one of the mistakes that we made when I was with James was we would talk about something important and we'd hardly ever touch it base on it again. But the American people, all people, and I'm not trying to dog people, you learn by repetition. If you go to college, if you take chemistry course, I mean, you talk about repetition. You study, 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 study. Even the best chemistry professors I know, they had to just study and study and study. But, the point is we have to beat this the greatest lie that's ever been told in the history of the world. And no lie has ever damaged our people. Who is our people? Our white people, our Christian people especially. And I'm going to say this one more time. We'll go back to this one more thing. We're going to go back to Miss Monica. Anytime you hear somebody say, oh, you're a Holocaust denier, if you say, oh, no, I believe in the Holocaust, what you're saying is that your white ancestors, my German grandmother that came over here from Germany, Miss Tennessee Kazee, she married a Miller in Eastern Kentucky. What you're saying is, oh, yes, my German ancestors were just bloodthirsty, demonically possessed killers. They killed those poor, innocent Jews. They killed them by the millions for no reason. So they're not asking you just to say, oh, you believe in the Holocaust. They're wanting you to just throw crap on your ancestors. They're wanting you to say that they are bloodthirsty killers. So you just stand up on your hind legs and you tell them to go to hell. And then tell them worse. But you tell them you don't accept that crap. And one more thing, you tell them that the Jews, we've got documents if you want them, the Jews even themselves admit that some of the greatest mass murders in the history of the world have been Jews. And I'm shutting up and go back to you, Miss Monica, what were we talking about during the break, dear?
Yeah, so we were talking about people who tell the truth and then they find out that, gee, the Jews don't like it very much, so they start to punish you all kinds of means. And then these people think that, oh, if they say, I didn't really believe that, and now I think differently again, I'm going back to the sanctioned politically correct narrative, and they're hoping that life will just go back to normal for them again, and they'll be able to continue selling their books and making their livelihood. Well, that's not the way it works. And I am just so disappointed about what happened with David Irving, because he was this very highly respected historian who wrote many books, and he wrote books about Germany. He has a particular interest in Germany and in Adolf Hitler, and still is very, very favorable towards Adolf Hitler. However, once he started to say, oh, there were no gas chambers and Fred Leuchter is right, and these were not extermination camps, and then he found out about the wrath of the Jews, suddenly his publishing book sales went down through the hole in the basement, and he was being banned from country after country. He was a prolific speaker, an excellent speaker. I've listened to some of his speeches from before he started to compromise, and oh, he was just so witty, funny, interesting. I mean, you were really on the edge of your chair, I thought. He was just an excellent speaker and so knowledgeable. Anyway, he has now gone back on what he knew to be true once he looked into it. And that's the thing about the Holocaust and all the fairy tales around it. Once you start looking at the evidence, then you will reach the conclusions that the whole thing is a lie about gas chambers and about mass extermination and whatnot. It doesn't mean nobody died in the camps. No, there were people who died in the camps. There were lots of you know, disease going around, lice carried typhus, all that stuff. Okay, but anyway, then after 2001 or so, David Irving started to go back on that, and now he's saying that, yeah, there were limited gassings, whatever that means. Now, unfortunately, that's not going to fix his problem in terms of becoming a well-respected historian again and selling all kinds of books again. I don't think it will fix his problem. The Jews aren't going to come along and say, oh, great, thank you, and pat on the back, and now promote him all over the world. And for our side, like, he has lost, he's lost our respect. So, you know, how does that, it doesn't do anything when somebody goes back on that. And he's not the only one. There are other people who have done that. They don't do themselves any favors, and they certainly, like Eddie was saying during our break there, they are certainly not doing anything for our people. Plus, they're undermining their work that they have done before, the good work that they have done, because then you start to wonder, you know, does that undermine their credibility? Anyway, I still think he did great work before he started compromising. But over to you. You actually have given him the opportunity, have you not, Fred? You've sent him an email and asking him to, giving him a chance to come clean on where is his evidence, basically. Yes. Where is the evidence?
Well, essentially, I mean, he says that at Belzec, Treblinka, and Sobibor, these camps were where the actual gas chambers were. Unfortunately, we have aerial photographs of these camps that were taken during the war, before the war, and we know that the buildings that were at the camps wouldn't support a gas chamber function. All they had was a bathhouse, a steam house for steaming the lice out of the clothes, and there wasn't even any place to keep people overnight. There may have been a small dormitory, because if they were holding certain people to go to a certain location, they had to wait for the train going in that direction. But, I mean, all they did at that point was transfer people onto different trains so they could send them to the right concentration camp, because they had lists of who needed workers.
I'll just jump in there, Fred. Fred, I'll just jump in just to clarify, because just to clarify for the listener, things that we were saying off air is because why you're talking about these transit camps is because that's what David Irving says where the gassings took place. He will acknowledge that they didn't take place at Auschwitz. However, he's saying now that they took place at these transit camps. Okay, well, back to you.
Okay. Now, the transit camps are completely gone. They don't even exist now, so we can't even go to investigate them. But the point is, we can make a determination from the aerial photographs what was there. To be quite frank, there was nothing there. So the camps were just crossroads for the trains. But, you know, as you said, I gave David Irving the opportunity to come back. I did something with him that I was uncomfortable doing, because I have a lot of respect for the man. I always did, and I still do, as a historian. I don't have to agree with what he's saying. He can be totally wrong in some areas, but I also have a great deal of respect for him as a person and his work with history. And I actually talked down to David, and I said, this will give you the opportunity to now come back into the fold with the revisionists, because in his talk, he talked about crossing swords with some of the top revisionists. Well, this gives him the opportunity to get back. His response did not indicate that he was upset about the remark. I agree. I think he's a beaten man. His response was, I thank you for this information, Fred, and when I talk about the trial, I'll have more information and I'll adhere to it now. Well, you know, so, you know, I think he's lost his own self-respect. And I'm sorry for the man. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm sorry it happened. I'm sorry he backed up. But the only shot he's got at all is, and I gave him the opportunity to come back. He can say, I misunderstood something, I understood it now because Fred pointed it out, and I'm back on the bandwagon. I'm a truth teller. I'm a revisionist.
Yeah, but something that you might want to address probably after this next break is what evidence he is giving, and I think it's mostly from letters and documents and whatnot, that kind of thing. It's not physical, is it?
There is no evidence. What you have to do is you have to take something totally out of context and you have to embroider something around it. I mean, the term final solution was not used a lot by the officials that ran the Third Reich, but the final solution is supposed to have been mass genocide. No, it wasn't. The final solution was just getting the Jews out of Germany after the war. He sent a lot of them to the Middle East, to Palestine. He wanted to send them to Madagascar to get rid of them. He just wanted them out of Germany because they were destroying his country. And, you know, Hitler did not intend to kill anybody. I mean, before the war started, 3 boatloads of Jews were shipped out of Germany, and no country accepted them. Every time they come into port, they were refused, and they said, get out of here. We don't want you in our country. We got enough Jews. And, you know, and so what is this? The entire world is saying we don't want these people. So
one needs to ask why not. Right?
Yeah, why not? But I mean, the problem is, don't blame Hitler for not wanting them, because nobody else wanted them either.
Exactly.
And you know, they should be asking the question, why doesn't anybody want us?
Exactly. That's the point. Why have they been kicked out of country after country after country? Over
130
time?
Countries.
You know, even when they were in a situation where
hey, Fred, we got to go to a break. We're coming right back. Before we go, I would just like to say, you know, the way things are going, we have one Jew. That's one Jew too many. Anyway, folks, we'll be right back after this break, people.
This is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at bloodriverradio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Dear people, we're right back. You're listening to Eddie the Bombardier Miller, Blood River Radio, and we have two dynamite guests on tonight, in case you're just tuning in, Miss Monica Schaefer and Mr. Fred Leutcher, the expert of all experts. And before we go back, our buddy Rich, he sends in some great stuff. He says, the so-called final solution, Hitler's final solution, was always a territorial solution, and he's been quoted in a very good contemporary source as saying it would have to take place after the war was won. Also, I have this book in my, I've never been able to read it. I've skimmed it. It's called the, it's 405 pages long. It's called The Transfer Agreement. It's by Edwin Black. By the way, Edwin Black was a Jew. It says the dramatic story of the pact between the Third Reich and Jewish Palestine. I'm just going to read a few sentences here. It says, the transfer agreement is the stunning, compassionate account of the deal with the devil that saved 60,000 Jews from the Holocaust. Of course, he was a Holocaust believer. The deal was made in desperation in 1933 between the Jewish leadership in Palestine and the Third Reich. In other words, what they did, to condense 400 pages of this book, the Jew International Jewry, they made a deal with the Germans, with Hitler, because Hitler and the Germans wanted to get rid of the Jews, and they wanted them. The International Jewry, they wanted to start a nation of Israel. And some of the most influential Jews in the country said, and they didn't care of some of the poor Jews that got left behind. I'm just condensing this book just for a few sentences, but this is my old Tennessee backwoods way of doing it. They didn't care when about a bunch of poor Jews getting killed. The international Jews, they said, because if you're going to make an omelet, you got to bust some eggs. But what they did, they made this deal with Germany. In Germany, these Jews could take all their money, all their stuff out of Germany, and the German government even gave them money, gave them equipment, gave them tractors and all kinds of machinery, all kinds of bakery goods, carpentry goods, anything these Jews needed to set up shop in Palestine. Well, you know what they did? They wound up doing like Jews always do. They stabbed Hitler and the Germans in the friggin' back. They were stabbing them in the back before the war, hell, even before World War I. And so that's pretty much it. There's this book called The Transfer Agreement. You can get it. It's kind of it's written by a Jew. There's a lot of documentation there. And it's supposed to be, a dark mark in the history of the Jews, because the Jews don't want you to know that they made a deal with the Germans. And they made a great deal. But they reneged on it. They really did. Like they always do. And I'm going to shut the hell up. The Transfer Agreement by Edwin Black, if you want to go get that. Anyway, back to you. But we got the two experts on that transfer agreement, right? I bet you I bet you that Monica probably knows something about that. But you might want to shut up. Go back to, was it you talking before we went to the break, Fred?
Yeah, but it was kicked back to Monica.
Well, okay, that's all ahead, right. Monica. I think that what you were just talking about was just really interesting about what evidence there was for any partial, quote unquote, partial gassings and whatnot. And you basically said there's no physical evidence. And right, just to wrap up about David Irving, and then we can move on from that, but he also doesn't talk about physical evidence. It's only this convoluted pulling things out of somebody's correspondence. And at the same time, he criticized this other fellow, and I think that's where, I don't remember the name. You can talk a little
Van
bit about
Pelt.
That, Fred. Say again, please.
Van Pelt. He's a professor of architecture at the university in Quebec, I think it is.
Right. And the criticism was basically that this person is taking something, a document, and really just misinterpreting, just pulling right, something totally out of context, and really that is what's going on now. And it is sad to see that going on, but I do hope that you get another more satisfactory response then, and we'll just see where that goes. But there you go. But again, these Nuremberg trials that this Nuremberg code is based on, it was a sham. But like you say, okay, this good code came out of it, that you don't do experimentation on medical experimentation without consent, informed consent. And
yes,
that takes us to the present right now, what's going
Ms.
on.
Ms. Monica, absolutely. Ms. Monica, I'm going to chime in here. And you see the exact same thing happening in the United States and worldwide. They're trying to take this, you may have been going to say it, they're trying to take this so-called vaccine, which is not a vaccine, as you pointed out earlier, experimental, and they're trying to force people to take it without their consent, force it on them. And they're trying to make people violate a federal law called the HIPAA rules. I'm supposed to disclose anybody's medical records. It's a felony. You know, you can get fired from any hospital in the United States if you go and you're not authorized to disclose someone's medical history. They can't force you to disclose your medical history. They can't force you to take something against your will. But and that came out of the so-called Nuremberg trials, you know, the sacred Nuremberg trials. But by God, they're doing it to us now. But anyway, I had to say that, Monica. Go ahead. Back to you, Monica.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to read this quote from Henry Kissinger because it does relate directly to what we have going on right now. Because the fear, have you noticed, the fear factor that they're driving 24/7 with this scary boogeyman COVID virus, which they still haven't been able to actually isolate. And guess what? The flu disappeared. But this is Henry Kissinger, 1991, in France, May 21st, 1991. This is his words. Today, America would be outraged if U.S. troops entered Los Angeles to restore order. Tomorrow, they would be grateful. This is especially true if they were told there was an outside threat from beyond, whether real or promulgated, that threatened our very existence. It is then that all peoples of the world will plead with world leaders to deliver them from this evil. The one thing that every man fears is the unknown. When presented with this scenario, individual rights will be willingly relinquished for the guarantee of their well-being granted to them by their world government. Now, Henry Kissinger, he's Jewish through and through. That's the end of the quote there. I just finished with the world government statement there. And what have we got going now? This fear factor, this unknown boogeyman, this virus that they can't quite isolate. And everybody's running around with masks and getting this injection, and they're being coerced into it. So
yes, they are.
Yes. Now, does the Nuremberg Code even have to be brought into effect when they coerce people, say you can't have a job, you can't have, you can't go here, you can't travel, you can't do this and that. And then they go for the injection because life might go back to normal, they think, but life will never go back to normal. I'll hand it over to one of you to carry on with those thoughts.
Well, I'll make this quick comment. Rich is Rich. Text and he said that the Nuremberg Code has not stopped the current situation where United States troops in Texas are coercing civilians to take the vaccine. Also, he says that vaccination of mentally retarded people in California is being carried out by the sheriff's office. They're vaccinating these poor mentally retarded people against their will. I mean, and we were there. I mean, we're they're no longer going to be taken over someday by the Luciferian communist Bolsheviks. We're being taken over. And if we don't get on our hind legs and fight and do something different than we've been doing, it's over with. But anyway, back to you, Fred.
Something has to be done if sheriffs are coercing people, if the military is coercing people, because there was something else that came out of Nuremberg, and that is that I had orders to do it. And they said, it doesn't make any difference if you had orders. You're supposed to know better. And they sent them up the stairs to the gallows anyway. And the bottom line, people have to understand a lot of things came out of Nuremberg. And one of them is you can't get away with breaking law by saying I was instructed and ordered to do it. It doesn't work anymore. So, yes. You know, I mean, these people should be held. These sheriffs should go to prison. And if the people die from it, they should be charged with manslaughter or second-degree murder. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, our government is no different than any government. Our military is no different than any other military. Before the war ended, we tested the atomic bomb, and after the war ended, we tested the atomic bomb in the Nevada desert. And the military did that, and they scheduled those tests when the prevailing wind was going to take all the radioactive fallout to Las Vegas, because they wanted to see what would happen in a major populated area, in what they call the metropolitan area, if they were sprayed.
We got to go to a quick break, Fred. We got to go to a quick break. I'm going to comment on that when we come back. People, hang on to your seats. Got to take a break.
protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Biden had a big meeting with South Korean President Moon Jae-in. One main topic was denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. Biden was asked if he would meet with Kim Jong-un. He said he would with some preconditions.
But what I would not do is I would not do what had been done in the recent past. I would not give him all that he's looking for, is national, international recognition as legitimate.
The official start to hurricane season is more than a week away, but the first named storm has already formed. Subtropical storm Anna took shape over the Atlantic Ocean just east of Bermuda. The system organized and was packing sustained winds of 45 miles per hour. Anna is heading to the west, but is expected to take a northward turn by Sunday. A tropical storm watch is in effect for Bermuda. This is USA Radio News.
This is good news, maybe exactly when you need it to. Right now, MediShare is waiving their new member fees. This could save you money on top of all that you'll save each month by becoming a member of MediShare. So many people are looking for a healthcare solution right now, seeing the cost of COBRA plans, for instance, and MediShare is the affordable alternative to health insurance. The typical family saves $500 a month. You might save even more. MediShare is a Christian community that shares each other's healthcare costs, and because of the current economic situation, they're making it easier than ever. Apply by May 30th, and you can save an additional $170 on your first month. I'll give you the number here in a second, and if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Just tell them the promo code SHARE to receive your additional savings. Maybe now is the time to make the switch, like more than 400,000 people already have, and start saving. Here it is. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE, 833-34-BIBLE.
One of the tallest buildings in southern China that shook earlier this week without any explanation has now been closed. The owner of the 71-story SEG Plaza in Shenzhen told everyone to stay out of the tower. He said they're trying to do inspection work to find out why the tower was shaking. The wobbling only lasted for a few minutes, while 15,000 people inside the building were panicking. Officials are having a difficult time finding the cause of the shaking. So far, earthquakes and structural damage have been ruled out. Scientists say a giant iceberg known as A76, which broke off from Antarctica a few weeks ago, won't melt right away. It measures 106 miles long, but is only 15 miles wide and is 1,600 square miles. It's now drifting into the South Atlantic. They say it could take several years before it crumbles and melts away. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Well, hello out there, old Blood River people. Really having a great time. I'm hoping old Matt's still listening. Matt and Abigail, God, I sure love them, bringing them on the first hour. But during the break, Miss Monica and Mr. Fred and I, we were talking about different things, different situations here in the United States, how we've been taken over by a communist dictatorship. And I brought up briefly about this letter. There was a letter signed by 124 generals and admirals, Air Force, Army, Navy, top brass, and they were pretty much saying, well, we all know that we have been taken, we here in the United States have been taken over by a communist Bolshevik dictatorship. They didn't say Bolshevik, that's my term, but they said a communist dictatorship. And they really, I said, this is great, man. Maybe we're going to have the military to reverse this coup. But at the end, they said that we stand by Israel, and what we got to do, their solution to reversing this communist coup was we need to get good. We need to get good candidates in there and vote the bad rascals out. And I say to myself, there's a crock. And I was telling the people during the break, our dear people, Miss Monica and Fred, people, you know as well as I know, there is no peaceful solution out of this mess we're in. We're going to sooner or later have to face the intellectual and the moral truth. Freedom ain't easy. It's not cheap. It costs lives. But to ease your fear, I can promise you that 100% of all living people, listening to my voice now, you're going to die. So how are you going to die? What are your grandchildren going to say? But they said also what they should have done was said, we're going to lead you people. We generals and admirals, 124 generals and admirals, hopefully General Flynn was one of them. We're going to lead you to reverse this communist coup. Anyway, back to you, Miss Monica.
Wow, that was great, Eddie, all those things you said. We just have to think about our ancestors. Now, can you imagine our ancestors with face diapers and, you know, saying, oh, you know, pretty please, we just want to carry on and go back to normal. No, when their territories were being threatened, they protected them, they defended them, they were warriors. It doesn't mean they went around seeking war, no. Our ancestors were peace-loving people, but they knew to defend their families, their territories, their homelands, and so they were warriors. And what are we doing? We're wearing face diapers. And
yes,
this brings us to this following orders thing. That is a really, really important concept. And I am going to shamelessly bring up my brother, Alfred, because I just have to, you know, remind people that I have a brother who is still in prison.
Please do, Miss Monica.
Alfred,
that's a
Schaefer.
Great honor for you to bring him up on the show. Please do. That's a great honor.
Yeah, and I mean, he is in solitary confinement because of his defiance of wearing the face diaper. He insists on breathing freely, breathing air. So imagine, this is what we've come to. We have a guy who's, you know, in his mid-60s, and he's insisting on breathing air without putting a face diaper, and for that he gets punished with solitary confinement. Now, the reason he's in prison in the first place is for words. He's a political prisoner. He's in prison for words, for speaking the truth. And you see, the Jews, they don't like that. So they are in control of the court systems, the mass media, and the banks, and therefore they're also in control of the government. And Germany,
yes,
being an occupied territory, they are in control of Germany. And isn't that, it takes us right back to how we started talking about the Nuremberg trials being a complete sham. That's the victors running a trial to punish the losers, basically, for losing and hanging them. What was their crime? They lost because the world ganged up on them. And what was Germany doing? Germany was fighting the Bolshevist threat, the communist threat, and that is the Jewish threat. And they actually saved Europe from becoming totally Bolshevik. You know, you could say, well, Germany didn't completely lose, because if Germany had not fought, then perhaps all of Europe would have become communist, not just half of Europe.
No doubt. No doubt.
Yeah.
They would have taken England. And before we go back to Fred, Miss Monica, and yeah, I don't want to get us too far track. I'm bad about,
yes,
getting a track. I think these 124 generals and admirals, I really believe they're probably controlled opposition for one thing. They said, we stand with Israel. And, you know, these generals and admirals are supposed to be smart. They're supposed to be smarter than I am. So why would you tell somebody to go vote to throw the bums out when they know, they admitted in the letter, they admitted that the election was rigged? And also, even if the election was not rigged, I'm going to shut up, this is my last point, how are we going to vote ourselves out of this mess when we whites are in a minority now? We talked about on the show previously that in 29 states, the lower of the 48, 29 states, people, the white death rate exceeded the white birth rate. We're already outnumbered. So how in the world are we going to vote the rascals out and vote ourselves out? There ain't no peaceful solution. And back, I hope I didn't get us too far off the, I guess I got us off the theme, Mr. Fred, my dear brother, because you're the expert. We didn't bring you on here because you're the expert on the militia and stuff like that. But anyway, back to you, Fred.
There's a reason for why these generals are saying we got to stick with Israel. And before I address that, I want to address one other thing. You know, the German officers were executed because they lost. Some of our officers, and I'll point to General Patton, he was executed because he won. Because they didn't like what he said. And he was a powerful person. But at the same people did the execution, so it didn't matter whether you won or lost. It just mattered what you were saying. But there's another consideration here, which is a problem. You know, we can thank the Clintons for this, and we can thank our some of our other former presidents, but the Israelis have been given all kinds of nuclear material. And right now, they have nuclear missiles pointed at every single country and capital of these countries on the planet. If Israel fights a war and loses the war, they're going to take the rest of the planet with them. That's why these military officers are afraid, but they're also afraid to tell you that. What has to be done is somebody has to pull the offensive fangs of Israel before anything can be done with them.
You're talking about the Samson option.
What?
They call that the Samson option? Yes, wow. Just what you just described. They take that. They call that in their doctrine. That's the Samson option. That they see that if they're going to lose, they're going to go down. They're going to fire these missiles. Well, I would tell them, you know what? If you have any regard whatsoever for any of your precious Jewish relatives that are elsewhere all over the world, you best not do that. You know what? Because you know what? There is going to be worse than hell to pay. You're going to wish. We're going to make you wish you had never been born if you survive this. You've got to fight fire with fire. I'd call the Jews bluff. But anyway, I'm going to shut up and go back. What do you think about that, Miss Monica?
Yeah, actually, the Samson option. You know, we were talking earlier about there isn't really a peaceful solution. However, I mean, I'm always mixed on that. I really am, because in the meantime, all of us can just stop consenting. You know, it drives me around the bend when I see all these people wearing their face diapers who... Some of them, and actually quite a lot of them, actually do know that this is baloney, that this whole thing is absolute bunk. It's based on a fraud, and yet they, you know, I just want to go along to get along. We have to stop doing that. And that's why I brought up my brother, because there he is in the gulag, and he is defiant about it, and he's not wearing these anymore because he has heard so much about people being knocked down to the ground, you know, even women and just ordinary citizens being knocked down to the ground by these enforcers. And the enforcers, they better stop going along with the program, because that brings us back to this thing about following orders. Again, back to the Nuremberg trials. You know, some people, okay, just following orders, oh, that was no excuse. But guess what? You actually can... be punished, and there is a law in Germany now that if you are carrying out an order that you know to be bad for the person that is on the receiving end of this order, then you will be punished. You cannot say as an excuse, oh, I was just following orders. Right. And that also came out of, I believe that came out of the Nuremberg trials, but again, we have to articulate the fact that these trials were a sham. However, some of these good laws came out of it, ironically. But again, I always am careful to point out the fact that it came out of a trial which was all upside down, and you know the victims were turned into the villains, and vice versa.
And Miss Monica, before we forget, we're going to go to a break, but when we come back after the break, would you tell us a little bit more about Alfred? Because he deserves, maybe people can write him letters, but he deserves all of our, all of our encouragement, everything we can do for him. So if you will, when we come back from the break, say something about, tell us about Alfred. Be right all back, right. Folks. Hang on to your seats. We got Monica Schaefer and Mr. Fred Lucher here.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the Heart Genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian Brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death. Like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
Well, dear Blood River Radio family, you're tuning in. This is the last segment of our show tonight. Boy, I tell you, I hope you're really enjoying it. I hope you're getting something out of it. I hope you will realize that we're trying to pound in your head the same old thing. The holy hoax, the holy hoax, the holy hoax is the greatest lie in the history of the world. And it's done probably more suffering, caused more suffering to our people than any other lie in history. It's cost trillions of dollars. God only knows psychological harm to our people, who, you know, this so-called white guilt and all that crap. But before I'm going to go ahead and leave now, and we're going back to Miss Monica. Miss Monica is going to tell us a little bit more about her precious brother, Alfred. He was a hero, a man's man. He will not bow, take a knee. So go ahead, Miss Monica. Tell us some more about Alfred.
Okay, yeah, he's in prison for making some excellent educational videos. And you can still find them on archive.org. Obviously, his channel was pulled down. YouTube purged everybody that was telling the truth, especially about Germany. And he's been in prison almost 3 years, and he has another year. Plus, he's facing another charge for simply showing with a straight arm how high his dog Pavlov can jump. And he was describing this in the courtyard to another prisoner, and the guards, I guess, took pictures of that and didn't like that. So imagine that. I mean, they really are going after him, but he is sticking to his guns. But if you want to write him a letter, go to my website, freespeechmonica.com, and there at the top menu bar is a one called How to Support Alfred Schaefer, and you will find his address there. So, great. Yeah, I would encourage people to do that. It's a lifeline for him. Like I say, he's in isolation, but at least the letters are still going in and out, and he writes terrific letters and very spirited. He radiates optimism. He'll sometimes finish his letters with, P.S., we're winning, because he sees COVID. He sees COVID as the boot across the neck that Yuri Betzman often speaks of, where, you know, you can shower the people with facts, but they won't believe it until the boot is across the neck. And that's what COVID is doing. Hello, folks, you know. Anyway, Fred was talking about these generals that spoke up about the Nuremberg trials, and I'm glad we're coming back to that. We could kind of wrap up on bringing it right back to where we started, these Nuremberg trials, because not everybody agreed with them, and even from the United States and from Britain and whatnot, from the Allied side, shall we say. Do you want to talk a little bit about that, Fred?
That there was being a very bad precedent set there, because they said if we fight a war in the future and we lose, we're all going to get executed. And that's just plain not right. These people are defending their country. They're heroes. They're people that have put their life on the line to keep for their country. And to kill them, it's tantamount to destroying. It's a psychological thing. You're destroying the country when you wipe out all the people that ran the country. And the generals felt the same way, because they said if we do this now, they're going to do it to us later. And one of the most outspoken, Mark Clark was outspoken about it, but they told him to shut up and they sent him to Korea. I think Ridgway was as well. But the one that was most outspoken about it, of course, was General Patton. And he wound up crushed under a Jeep. He accidentally was killed in a, that was no accident. That was deliberate. Probably done by the OSS. But the point is, it's not right to kill people after they lose the war. This is what was done in the ancient times. This is what Rome did with Carthage. They killed all the leaders. They castrated all the men and sent them to work in the copper mines. They put all the women and children into slavery, and then they plowed salt into the land so nothing would ever grow in that part of Africa again. I mean, that's called extermination. That's what they do. And that's what the Jews want to do, and that's what they did. They weren't being exterminated. They were trying to exterminate the Germans, and they had been for the whole last century.
So, that's right. Pure vengeance. It's pure vengeance it makes no sense at all, other than it's hatred and vengeance, and yet they project that onto the loser, onto the victim, and say they are the ones filled with hatred and vengeance. But Fred, in addition to these generals talking about, look, if we're executing them just because they lost, then that could happen to us. But in addition to that, I think that a lot of these people spoke out about the trial being run like a pure inquisition and not being at all fair and just. They actually did try to alert the world to the fact that these were not being run fairly. It had nothing to do with justice, did it? Do you know anything about that?
No, I mean, the whole purpose of it was to take the people that they captured and execute them. There was no other reason for it. A military tribunal is just that. The decision is made before they impanel the tribunal. The same thing was done with the people who were allegedly accused of being involved in the plot to assassinate Lincoln. They didn't get a fair trial either. They put on a sham, but in the final analysis, everybody knows what's going to happen. After this is over, you're going to be hanged. And, that's what they did. I mean, Nuremberg put Torquemada at the Inquisition to shame. Because at least they gave people the opportunity to speak out. They gave them the opportunity to present evidence. Now, maybe it's hard to present evidence since you're not a witch. But whether they did or not, they gave you the opportunity to speak. The Germans never had the opportunity to speak any more than say, "I didn't do it." You can't bring evidence. And that's what happens when you're dealing with people that want to destroy you and exterminate you. And this has been the policy.
You know what, Fred?
What?
We can prove that they wanted to destroy. When I say us, white Christian Germans in Germany, they couldn't do us here in the United States that way. But there's just volumes and volumes and volumes of proof. The reason they did it, the reason that the world military tried to destroy Germany, was because of the ancient hatred of Jews for white people, for non-Jews. It goes all the way back to the Old Testament. And I'll tell you an excellent book, people, to read. If you want to see just how evil these Jews were, there's a great book. It's called The Secret Behind Communism. It's put out by David Duke, a friend of mine. And the stuff in that book will curl your hair. It tells about stuff like me and Miss Monica has talked about before, that there were more Germans killed after this fire started, after the war started, after, what was it, May the 8th of 1945, there were more Germans killed after when the Germans were disarmed than there was during the war. Also, one last final point, the World Jewry actually declared war on Germany about 6 years before the shooting started in 1933. Right. There's articles in newspapers saying it. International Jewry declares war on Germany. They almost brought the miracle that Germany was, that Adolf Hitler brought them, a miracle, and they tried to derail that Germany because they hated Germans with their purple patches. They hate anybody that stands up to them on the show. Come back to you, Mr. Fred.
They first declared war on Germany in 1912 in the New York Times. So, but this has been going on for a long time. It's not something that's new. But more power to your brother, Monica, because that's exactly what they need. These prison officials need something, so they need to see that these people who are prisoners of conscience and are in prison because they believe something different or they said something different, they need to see how they stand up under this persecution that they get. When I was in Mannheim, I refused to wear their prison uniform. They sent the warden down, the deputy warden. He came down, he says, it's the rule, you have to wear it. He said, I don't think you belong here. He says, but unfortunately, you got a big mouth and you got yourself into trouble and that's why you're here. He says, but you have to take it off. You have to put the prison clothes on. I said, I'm not going to do it. And I said, I'm telling you right now, I am not going to wear the prison uniform. If you insist that I wear it, I said, you better bring some men down. And I said, they'll be able to take it off me, and you'll be able to dress me in the prison stuff. But I said, I'll promise you one thing. Everybody that comes down is going to know they've been in one hell of a fight.
Speaking of a fight, okay, Alfred... he does write in his letters that people are very much on side with him. He can feel that and sense that from the comments that get thrown his way when he's doing his 60-minute solo in the courtyard, like through the windows. And also he says that the staff, most of them, other than a few worms who are trying to suck up to the boss...
Right.
They are on side. You can tell those kind of things from their demeanor, right? I mean, they still hold the keys and all that, but definitely he has the respect of the people there. Right. And the other thing, he has made it loud and clear to any and all of them that he will never succumb to getting the jab. If they try to force it on him, it will end in either his death or his punch his way out or whatever. Like, he's just not going to succumb to it. And if that's the way he dies, that's the way he dies. But that is what we all have to take that to heart and stop going along to get along. That's what we have to do.
I agree.
How can we get mail? Miss Monica, can he get... I hate to chime in, but we're getting close to the end of the hour. How can we get mail to Alfred, and can he even
the address, thanks for asking again. Find the address on my website, and my website is called freespeechmonica.com, and Monica is with a K, so all one word, freespeechmonica.com, and there you will find it very easily. There's a menu tab that says how to support Alfred Schaefer or support Alfred Schaefer. Click on that and his address is there. And also just a few tips about writing. And he will write you back. And he writes great letters. So it also not only is good for him, but good for the authorities to see that he's not forgotten. And it's just good for political prisoners to get lots of mail, let me tell you. It's the lifeline to the outside world. And like I say, the authorities need to see that he is not alone.
Well, that's it. I'm going to ask a stupid question. We ran out of time. I hope maybe we can get him on our show. Ha ha. We had Daniel Borden on from the prison in Virginia, though, for Battle of Charlottesville. So don't say never say never. People.
Good luck with that.
Hey, Miss Monica, take us out. Tell the audience thanks for listening to us, and take us out, Miss Monica.
Yeah, thank you, and please do support Blood River Radio. We just are telling the truth how it is, and that does not come for free. We need money for that. So thank you very much, and thanks, Fred, for coming on, and thanks for having me on again.
Thank you for having me on.
Good night, Miss Monica. Good night, Mr. Fred. And good night, Jay. Good night, precious audience. We'll see you again, God willing, next week. Thank you so much for listening to us tonight, people. Good night.